when you look at New Year's resolutions or resolutions, and for some, like Jamie said last week, he said, I don't do New Year's resolutions. And I had to have some words with him. No, I really didn't. But that's because he thinks he's perfect. Where's Jamie? Oh, there he is. He moves around, and he thinks he's perfect, so he doesn't have to make New Year's resolutions. I understand. Tracy can pray for him there and help him to straighten out. But anyway, for the rest of us that aren't quite there, we should be making some, I'm just having fun with him. We should be making resolutions to do something different in our life. And maybe you don't do New Year's resolutions because it's like, well, everybody else does that. I don't want to do a New Year's resolution. Well, fine, do just resolutions. Or you say, I'm resolved to do something different. How many of you could say, honestly, I would love to see something happen different in my life that's currently happening. Something, I'd love to see a change for the better, more healthy or something like that in your life. Anybody say that? Anybody not say that? My life's perfect. I don't have any issues. Anybody besides Jamie? Okay, good. Just Jamie. Okay, good. So pray for him. He's a really humble guy as well as you can. No, I'm just messing with him. There's two types of responses to resolutions. When you resolve to do something, when you make up your mind to do something, when you say, I know this needs to change, there's two different responses. And I want to address that today. Response number one is a dreamer. Someone who dreams about it, someone who thinks about it, someone who says, yep, something needs to be done, and they dream about it. And then the other one is an explorer. A dreamer looks like this. Several years ago, I think it was 2007, Pixar put out a movie called Up. Anybody see that movie? A bunch of you saw the movie. Okay, it's good. It's a good movie. So they put this movie Up out, and it's about a young couple that they're kind of growing up together, and these two people, they end up getting married, and they're dreaming about one day they're going to go on an exploration to South America. And so they're dreaming about it, and they have these pictures, and he promises that he's going to take her there, and it's going to happen, and they're married, and you just see the escalation of their life as they grow together, and they get older, and they have a savings account that goes toward that, and then something happens to their house, and they have to break open the savings and pay for the thing in their house, and they save again, and then somebody gets hurt, and they have to pay for that, and it just kind of does this cycle that we could all probably agree that this happens in life. You say, we're going to go to Disney this year, or we're going to buy a new house, or we're going to just, whatever, get a new outfit, new shoes, or whatever it would be, and you save, and then it seems like something else happens, and it gets in the way, and so as they age, that's what happens, and the end of the beginning of the movie is really sad. The wife dies, and they never get there, and if you're watching that, you're like, whoa, this is just not a great kid movie. It's very sad in the beginning, but then it kind of gets better, and he decides he's going to go and take the journey anyway and makes the promise to her in a kind of a different way and gets his house to float with like 10,000 balloons. I tried that. Doesn't work. I don't know. Anyway, it's a fun movie to watch. And then the little kid, he's funny. But anyway. But I think that's a lot of our story. That we have dreams that go nowhere. We have dreams of, I want to do this. I have a dream that I want to get to this place. But a lot of times our dreams go nowhere. We recognize that we're spiritually or emotionally, physically or relationally unhealthy in certain ways. We sit back and we can kind of look at ourselves and say, there's something that needs to be different about my life. Physically, I should be. Emotionally, I should be this way. Spiritually or relationally, I know that there's some changes that should happen in my life. I know this. I'm unhealthy in this kind of a way. But you don't know where to start, or you just say, it just looks too big. I don't know what to do here. It starts with what we talked about last week, where you need to take charge of yourself, really. To take charge. It's a resolution. I resolve to take charge. I'm not going to just think about it. I am going to do something about it. It's a must do, not a I hope to. So we start by resolving to take charge, and then today we're going to talk about exploring our next steps. Exploring our next steps. If you have your Bible, open it with me to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. It's in the beginning of the Bible, like five or six books in, which is probably around 200 pages in your Bible. And I'd like to do what we did last week. I'd like for us to stand up together, and just out of respect for God's Word, I'd like to read a large portion together so that you can grab the context of it, and then we'll discuss it. So Joshua chapter 2, let's stand together, and I'd like to just read this out. So Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim, as spies, saying, 'Go, view the land, especially Jericho.' And they went and came into the house of the prostitute, whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, 'Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land.' Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land.' But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, 'True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them.' But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heaven above and on earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord, that I, as I have dealt kindly with you, so you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death.' And the men said to her, 'Our lives for yours, even to death. If you do not tell us this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you.'" You may be seated. So Joshua sends spies in to explore the land of Jericho and beyond, really. He's going to into this place where he's saying, hey, let's look at our future. Let's look at what we're about to get involved in. What does it look like? What's going on over here? Let's make sure we have a clear picture of what's over there. Now, you remember about 40 years previous, Joshua, maybe you don't remember this, but 40 years previous, Joshua and Caleb and 10 other spies, they went into the land to be able to spy out the land. But you remember, Joshua and Caleb are the only ones that came back with a good report, and the other ones came back with a bad report. So now Joshua's doing the same thing. But instead of sending a whole bunch, he's sending just these two guys to go and spy out the land. And so they do. Let me just say by application, in order to conquer the thing that's holding you back, you'll need to explore. In order to get through the thing that you say, I would love to be healthier here. I would love to be healthier emotionally or physically or relationally or spiritually. I'd love to take the next step. In order to take the next step, the first thing that you have to do is explore. Just like Joshua did. He looked in and he said, okay, I need to work at this. I need to explore and see what's going on over here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 is a fascinating verse where Paul says to Timothy, as one mentor saying to the other guy in a church world, he's saying, train those that are teachable. Invest your life into those that are teachable. What does it mean to be teachable? Someone who takes instruction. That's important, isn't it? If I wanted to learn how to be a dentist, I would come and I would hang out with Matt. I don't want to learn how to be a dentist. But if I did, okay, I'd come and I'd learn from, you know, Matt the best. And I would say, okay, teach me how to do this. Now, if I came into the office and said, all right, this is going to be fun, I'd say, well, that's debatable, but let's do this anyway. And so we get into this and he pulls out, the first thing he pulls out, which is what? What's it going to be?
First thing would probably be gloves.
Gloves, all right, yeah. Okay, and I'm like, you got to put your hand in somebody's mouth, give me five pair of gloves, all right. You know, and he'd begin by sharing and saying, okay, you got to do this. Now listen, if you said, okay, put your gloves on, and I just sat there and I'm like, no thanks. What am I demonstrating? That I'm not what? I'm not teachable. I'm not willing to receive instruction. Listen, in order to get to the next part in your life, in order to get past the struggle that you're in right now where you're living in some unhealthy ways, and all of us have unhealthy things in our life. There's no one exempt from that. Everyone has something unhealthy, whether it's emotional or physical or relational or spiritual. We have something that's unhealthy that needs to be addressed. And in order to get through that, the first thing is, are you teachable? Are you willing to receive instruction? Or are you like, nope, I'm good, I got this. So here Joshua is willing to receive instruction, willing to explore and figure out, hey, what's going on over there? If you're, just to give a couple of examples, if you're looking at your finances saying, okay, this is the unhealthy part of my life, I need to address this. Just to make this real practical. The first thing you do is you don't say, okay, I need to make my finances better, and that's the end of the statement. No, it's I need to explore. So what does that look like? Okay, I'm going to do some research. As I've done in the past, and I've bumped across this one thing Andy Stanley said, and he probably got it from somebody else, I don't know. But this one very simple, systematic approach to finances. It's really easy. If you're struggling with finances, it's a real easy quip. You ready? He says, okay, here's a systematic approach. Put it in this priority. Give, save, live. Okay, so financially, let's put things together. He says, first of all, put God first or give first. Be generous first with your finances so that money doesn't have a hold of you, but instead you've got a grip on it and you're giving it away. Start with giving first. And then the next part, save. Save. Don't spend everything. Save first. You know, some people say put yourself first there. Put God first, then put yourself first. And that's the savings kind of aspect. But you save first. And so then you have the give, then save, and then the live on the rest. So here's the problem. We get it backwards and we say, okay, I'm going to live over here. And that's what gets us into problems. And we don't save for anything and we're not generous. So what we do is we live for ourselves financially. And we wonder why we get into a problem financially, because we buy, and we can't maintain anything because we haven't saved for anything to maintain what we have. And then we get into the problem. Then we need a credit card to pay for the maintenance of this thing over here that we bought last year, and we don't save for the maintenance. And it gets into this snowball effect that goes negative. And many of us have been there. So it takes really reworking that intentionally and getting the other side. But you study it out. You explore. You're teachable. And you're saying, okay, I want my finances to be better. So I study this out, and I came up with a system that somebody else who's better at this, they have a healthy view of finances, they came up with this, and so I'm going to implement this into my life and see the results over here. But it starts with exploration. You've got to come up with a solution, okay? Or another one. You resolve to emotionally take charge of your insecurities or your fears. Or maybe in your life, you have all these insecurities and all these fears going on, and you're kind of living in this kind of way, and you say, well, I'm not sure what to do. And, man, this is so overwhelming to even think about doing something different. And you say, okay, let's stop. Let's stop. Let's explore. Let's be teachable. So you don't go to somebody, listen, here's what we often do. You find somebody that has the same problems you have. If you have two people that are filled with insecurity and fear that talk to each other to get help from each other, guess what happens? You give the same bad advice. Right? Oh, yeah, they probably are saying that about you. Yeah, I read that on Facebook, and yep, that's probably what that does mean. It's like, no, 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 wait a second. Here's what you should be doing. You should get around someone that's healthy, has a healthy view of these things, has a healthy view of fear. It's not that they never deal with it, because everyone does, because it's a common emotion, okay? And so we deal with those things, and so you get around someone that's healthy and say, okay, I need some help here to guide me through this. And they're like, yeah, I know that says that on Facebook, but maybe you should turn Facebook off because they're just kind of promoting themselves anyway, and that's not their full life. You know, and so they kind of give you some new structures and some new ways of thinking then as well that says, hey, listen, I know that you want to give in to those fears and insecurities, but here's what God thinks of you, and begin to give you a whole new way of thinking. But you've got to explore. See, explorers are resolved to make dreams happen by looking for the next step. Explorers, they're resolved to make dreams happen by looking for the next step. So Joshua, he sends in the spies. They go to check it out, and they're there to view the land, especially Jericho. So they're staying with, this is fascinating, they're staying with a prostitute whose name was Rahab. And I would imagine she's kind of younger based on her perspective on her parents. And so that's where they're staying. Now, you get into verse 2 and 3, and it talks about the king who hears about this. So the king of Jericho says, okay, I hear that there's these spies in our land, and he hears that they're staying with Rahab, so he's hunting them down. Now, that's interesting. That word got back to the king so quickly as they get in there. And the reason that we would see that is because of the whole place is basically just sitting in fear, because here's this nation that everyone's just terrified of, in that there's something special going on with what's going on. So here, the king now is searching for these guys. So it's interesting. Rahab allows them to hide out in her place. By aiding the spies, she puts herself into a position where if she's caught, she'd be put to death. Seems like a bad move, doesn't it? We're going to look at this a little bit later on as to why she would do that. Now, the spies, they're in an interesting position as well. Think about this. If you've read this before, maybe you've kind of read this through and you haven't really thought about this, but the spies are doing something fascinating. They are on a mission from God, and they have put the fate of their lives into the hands of a prostitute that they just met. That doesn't seem so logical to you, does it? If you're going to put your hands in the fate of someone, it's not someone with that kind of a trade or profession, right? But that's where they put their trust. They're like, okay, this is where we're going to be, and who knows the whole background of that, but I think that's fascinating as they do this. They're putting their lives in the hand of her. Here's the reality. Explorers will face opposition. As the spies go in, I don't know that they're expecting a ton of opposition. They're just checking things out. As you look at the things that you're saying, I need to see this change happen in my life, I need to be more healthy in this aspect of my life, guess what? The first thing that's going to happen to any one of us is that we're going to face opposition. We're going to face people in different ways that are going to push against us. It could be someone that's very close to us that says, what in the world are you thinking? Don't be doing that. That's crazy. You know, why are you being all holy roller on me? Why are you trying to, you know, better yourself? And people make fun of you in certain ways. And you have these kind of oppositions that happen. You'll have distractions that happen as well. So, you know, people discourage you on one side, and then you have distractions on the other side. That all of a sudden, you say, hey, listen, I need to, you know, put God first by spending time with him every day. And that's the day that overtime will happen, or your boss will call extra early, or this thing will break down, or you have all kinds of things. Opposition happens through discouragement and distractions. We'll face those things. Explorers will face opposition, very simply. So you go on further, and so Rahab's hiding them. In verse 4 then, so it says, but the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she says, true, the men had came, but I don't know where they were from. Now, listen, what is she doing? She's lying. Very clearly, she's lying to the men that are now chasing these spies. Why? This is a huge question. You find that God blesses her. Why would God ever bless a liar? That's a huge theological question that I'm probably not going to get into as much as you'd like me to get into today. But let me get into it to the degree that I think is sufficient for the day. In verse 9, we read this already, but I want to highlight this. She says to the men, she responds back to the spies, she says something very fascinating as she's lying to protect them and sends these other guys out away from her house. In verse 9, she says to the spies, she says, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and the fear of you has fallen upon us." She has confidence. She has faith in God that is absolutely different than what they were even expecting. You go down to verse number 11, and you can see this again. She says, as soon as we heard it, as soon as we heard about what had happened, and by the way, the things that had happened, they were years ago. It wasn't like last week you guys did this and now we're afraid. No, this is years have gone past. It's almost a generation that there's a known thing that's happening in Israel, and it's okay, they're coming this direction. We're just not sure when. And she says, as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted. Because of the history back here, our hearts melted, and we've been in this position all this time. It says, as there was no spirit left in any man because of you. Why? For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven, in the heavens above, and on the earth beneath. What a huge statement of faith. It's simply she's saying, I trust in God. I don't trust in anyone else. So when the king sends his men, it's, I don't trust in you. I know that I'm a citizen in Jericho, and I live in this wall here, and I know this is where I've made my home, but I realize that you are not God. God is the God of the heavens. God is the God who's in control in Israel. God is the one who's doing these things, and her faith, you can see it's demonstrated in what she's saying to these guys. It's fascinating. She knows that in her city, they were the underdogs. Isn't that cool? So while Rahab is in an unhealthy profession, she had the healthiest view of God. And what I think is fascinating about this, so let me kind of spin this out a little bit with you. When you look at the whole book of Joshua, I give you a picture of the future. She is the only one that I see in the whole book of Joshua that shows faith in God. It's fascinating. And here it's the beginning point where they're going in, and you would expect that more people would say, hey, we're good with your God, we'll follow, and you just don't see that throughout this book. So her faith is genuine. Her discernment in the direction that was going to happen, it was spot on. She was taking charge of her life, and she herself was also exploring a new direction. Here's what she was saying. I'm willing to change. I'm willing to go where God is leading. So by application, let me just say, don't let your current circumstances deter you from pursuing your dream. You see where Rahab's at? Her current circumstances, and it could be that she's in forced prostitution, actually. It may not be a profession that she chose that might have been chosen for her. We're not sure of that, but in the context, that could happen in that day. So while she's there, her current circumstance did not dictate to her her future. It did not deter her from the future dream that she had of following God and being saved from the impending doom, in a sense, that was on their city. In the same kind of way, I find people all the time that look and say, well, I can dream about a better day. I can dream about living a secure life. I can dream about not living in fear and anxiety. I can dream about having financial freedom. I can dream about having better relationships. I can dream about all that. But my current circumstance, because of what's going on in my life right now, because the school people that I'm hanging out with, because what I have in work, because the financial debt load that I have, because of all of that, we make excuses. And we say, my current circumstances are way bigger than the dream that God has in my heart. I love that Rahab doesn't say that. The current circumstances that she's in does not deter her, does not slow her down, does not like push her away from the dream that God is placing inside of her, where she says, I trust in your God. My faith is in him. He's the God of all. And so wherever he leads is where I'm willing to go. Listen, if God could rescue Rahab out of the mess that she was in, then God can rescue any one of us from the mess we're in. Amen? And do you believe that? That's huge. It's fascinating. Let me give you just another blip of Rahab. In Matthew chapter 1, we studied this out last month. You remember the genealogies of Jesus? Do you remember who's in this? Rahab. Five generations away from King David. It's Rahab, the same person that we're talking about right here. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews mentions Rahab and mentions her extreme faith. Wait a second. Wouldn't we toss her out because of her profession? She's probably young, I'm going to guess, probably in her 20s, maybe. I don't know. Somewhere around that age. It's amazing. So here this one young lady is making a huge statement of faith. My current circumstance is not going to deter me from the dream that God has in my heart. I'm willing to follow God and take huge steps and explore where God is leading me. So then you'll find in verses 15 through verse 24, as you follow this down through, the spies then, they go and they say, okay, here's what's going to happen. They let a rope down, and they go out the window, and they leave, and they promise back to her. They say, listen, whoever is in your house, whoever's in, you get everybody in. We're not responsible for anybody that's outside of the four walls that you're living in. So whoever's in here, they can experience salvation. Our life for yours. That's our commitment between us and you. And so they do that, and they have no idea what's going to happen with Jericho. We're going to see that in a couple of weeks. But they have no idea what's about to happen with Jericho. But they say, look, your family needs to be in this house, and we'll save just your family. And you need to provide that rope so that we know that this is who you are. So the spies, they go back, and I love what happens here. They say, in the next verse is, Rahab, you're protected. And then they go back, and they get to verse 22. They departed, and they went into the hills and remained there for 3 days until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers searched all along the way and found nothing, and they wouldn't. Then the two men returned. They came down to the hills and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and they told him all that had happened to them. Now stop there. If you're reporting back, what are you saying to Joshua? Joshua's the guy in charge. What are you about to say? Well, there's this huge place. They've got these big walls, and the walls probably are literally as big as the width of our church is the walls going around this city. The whole city, man, it was crazy. There's only one person that was willing to accept us. How would you report back to Joshua? How do you report back about your life every day? Do you report back about your life every day? Hey, my life is horrible. My life is terrible. Oh, man, I got this bad circumstance, and oh, I don't think we can make it. You see, these spies, they had a choice to make in how they even reported back the things that were going on. They had fascinating experiences that were going on around them. They got to see inside the promised land. They got to see inside Jericho. They got firsthand look at what was going on there, and they had an opportunity to report back. I find that a lot of times the main issue with our lives really comes back to how we are reporting back about our lives. At the end of the day, what are we saying about our life? At the end of meeting with someone, what are we saying? What do you post on Facebook? What do you post on Twitter or social media in certain ways? Or what do you say to the person that's closest to you? Oh, man, is it always negative? Or are you looking on a different side? The other side is something totally different. The other side is, hey, listen, God's got this. I know the circumstance. I know the reality. I understand there's a lot of people over there. I understand the walls are huge. They're big enough to have apartments in them. And that's what the wall was all about. And you could ride chariots. It had a street on top of the wall. It's this huge place. I know all that. But listen to what they say. In verse 24, they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has given all the land into our hands. And also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us. Do you see the statement they're making? They're reporting back with absolute confidence. In who? In God. God's got this. They have a reason to fear. Well, they've got to get over the river. They've got to go to each town. There's going to be all kinds of problems. I mean, they've got to go to Jericho, and they've got to fight Jericho, and how are they even going to get into the wall? The gate is huge. It's walled up really perfectly, and they're not great at winning battles and stuff like that. They're not like huge warriors, and they don't have the training going into this. Here's what they do. They simply say, hey, the Lord's given us this land. And here's what they're simply doing. They're going on borrowed courage, aren't they? They're going on the courage that Rahab has. Where Rahab says about them, God's given you this land to save me and my family. I know what's about to happen. So this young lady, this 20-something-year-old young lady, is giving confidence to them that they've seen in their past. Listen, these guys, they didn't see all the things that happened either, neither did Rahab, of what God did in Israel prior to. But Rahab gave them the borrowed courage to say, I know this is about to happen, and we're in fear of you guys, and I know that victory is yours already. I love it. So simply, they're saying back to Joshua, let's go. Let's go. What are we waiting for? Pack the bags. Come on. God's given us this land. Let's march in. And here, for those that are highly administrative, how many are highly administrative here? Raise your hand. Come on. Raise them better than that. Come on. All right. So there's about a dozen. Raise your hand. And there's probably a dozen more that you're not quite sure if you should raise your hand yet. What are the spies missing here? Details. Think about it. How in the world can they make this prophetic statement that God's given us his land, don't you worry about it? Listen. I'm not highly administrative. And my administrative assistant can say, amen to that, right? And everybody else knows it because I'm not highly administrative. I'm not detail-oriented. And I've got the elders around me, they're detail-oriented. So I'll come up with these ideas of, hey, let's go do this, guys. And I've been doing this for like 20 years here, and so I've learned, and they've learned, and we work together now as a team, but I'd come up with these ideas, and they'd be like, so, hold on a second, my wife's this way too, and like God's put everybody around me that's different than me. So I'll come up with an idea, and they'll look at me, and they'll say, so, what about this? Well, how are we going to have the money for that? And what about this? And what about... And they ask me all these questions. And at first, I was like, I don't know. like it's just going to work. Like, don't you understand? It's just, we're going to go, and it's going to happen, and we'll win, and yeah. Just say amen, and we're all right here. You know, that's what we do. And over the years, we've worked together in that kind of way, and I learned I don't open my mouth quite as fast. I think through three more details, and they fill in the rest because they know I'm not capable of doing 10 details, okay? And it works. Do you see what the spies are doing? They're just saying, yeah, we got it. What about the details? We don't have any. How are they going to win with Jericho? How are they going to win with the 10 kings of the south, the kings of the north, and all the others in the promised land? How are they going to get over the river? I mean, it's really confusing, isn't it? Even babies understand. This is really confusing, right? Here's the reality. Sometimes we don't know all the details. Sometimes you can't calculate that far out. Sometimes when it comes to following God and getting healthy, it's one step, just one step. Just take, okay, this is my next step. That's all God's given me is one step. I know that we're supposed to go, so okay, God, I'm willing, and you'll give the victory, and you're going to help me to have a healthier view, a healthier financial outlook, a healthier relational outlook, a healthier marriage, a healthier whatever, and God's going to do that. But I don't know how, but so God, I'm just trusting you. Because God, if you can do this in the past, if you could take the Israelites out of Egypt the way you did, if you could take them and you could give them success in the way that you did, and we have history just like Rahab had history, right? It's no different. Because of the law, the prophets, and everything that's recorded here in history, we have the same confidence, the same God, that we can look at the past and we can say, because God is God, we now can look forward and say, if God's in it, he's going to win it. Right? So we don't have to worry about it. So we make resolution, we say, okay, God, you're in it, you're going to win it, and I don't know how, and I don't have all the details, but you're going to help me figure it out as I go. The administrative people, I'm not making any criticism on you. Here's what I'm saying. Listen, sometimes as God prepares and gives you the direction that you need to go, take one step. And sometimes the administrative people, listen, here's what God does special for you. He gives you 15 steps that you can help us that don't have it to work the details out. And we work together in an awesome way. All of it comes back to whether we trust in God. You see, when God puts a dream on your heart, it's a dream worth chasing. Here at Milestone Church, God's put a dream on our heart. The dream is to reach people that are far from God. People that don't know who God is. People that question the existence of God. People that are antagonistic to God. People that don't like God. And we're here to reach people that need that hope, that need to understand who God is. We want to go and reach people. That's our goal. That's our mission. So right now, how are we going to get there? It's a big question. Right now, we're exploring a systematic approach for us to take people from lost to leading. Very simply. We're exploring. Will we have all the details worked out? Probably not, because I'm the leader, right? But because I have a great team around me, we'll have a lot more than what it would be if it's just me. But we're looking very clearly. We're saying, okay, we want a systematic approach to how we're going to take people from lost to leading, people that don't know anything about God, to people that are following God faithfully. We want to see transformation. We're not just focused on church growth. That's not big enough. Anybody can grow a church. Do you realize that? All you do is you have a place that functions well enough and has enough spiritual things going on that people come out and they say, oh, it's cool, I'll just kind of come and hang out. You can have that all over, and it really is. That's not the goal for us. It's not simply church growth. Our goal is transformation. We want to see God do life change. We want to see the unhealthy become healthy. So where does this begin? Transformation begins with every single one of us. It begins with our own hearts. It begins with where we are. If we're not exploring God's dreams for ourselves, then we're just dreaming about an exploration. You catch that? If we're not pursuing, we're not going and exploring, God, what do you want? Then all we're doing is we're just dreaming about an exploration. It's like we put maps all over the place and in our house, and we say, well, it'd be nice to go. It'd be nice to get to. It'd be nice for all of those things, but I'll just kind of sit here and hang out. Maybe someday it'll happen. That's just dreaming. And that's not what we should be about in any kind of way. Honestly, though, we're all that way at certain points, aren't we? We need Rahabs in our life that say, I know God's got this. We need people around us that give us the courage to be able to step up and say, my life doesn't need to stay this way any longer. I'm not going to stay here. So we resolve then to take charge, and we resolve to explore our next steps. So here's the worst thing you can do. Here's the reality is we all have the same resource of time to figure this out. The worst thing we can do is this, is to spend our energy and our time exploring the wrong things. I see a lot of people doing this, and I'm tempted to do this as well. Here's what we do. To explore the wrong things is, it's when we know that we're unhealthy spiritually or emotionally or physically, but we don't spend our energy exploring a solution to the dream of being healthy. We know that we should change, but we just sit back and we don't invest. We don't explore in the direction that would make things better. So instead, we spend our energy and our time exploring the latest video games. We explore the most popular TV shows or the movies or social media, or reading books and working more hours and being on Craigslist. And we do all of that, and we spend all the extra energy and the resource of time and such, we spend it on those things instead of investing and exploring in the things that we should be doing that would help us to grow in where we should be. Now, does that mean you can't do any Facebook and you can't do any? No, I'm not saying that. But sometimes we put all of our energy, all of the downtime, all the time that we could dedicate into exploring where God wants us to go. Sometimes we put all of that into the wrong place. So, some helpful tips. My goal is for every single one of us to experience a healthier 2018 spiritually. That's my biggest goal. And emotionally there too, because I work on both things, okay? Mentally, I really don't work on physical. You're not going to get a workout thing going on here. We're not doing yoga or anything like that. So you can rest assured that we're good, okay, that way. You can go somewhere else for that. But that's what I want to work on. So how do we do that? How do you explore? This past week on my phone, and maybe you have this as well. Anybody have smartphones? How many have smartphones? How many have dumb phones? Go ahead. All right, there's a few. Awesome, okay? So those that have smartphones, if you want to explore how you can get healthier in certain areas, there are several different apps that you could download. I'm going to give you a couple, just two. Two that I've been working at recently. One is called iDisciple. The letter I, then disciple. Okay? Nobody's writing anything down yet. Okay, you can. Okay? This would help you in the future. Okay? I know you have this memory that you remember everything I say. Of course. We'll test that out next week. So iDisciple gives you the opportunity to do Bible study plans in all kinds of different ways, okay? So maybe you're struggling right now and you say, I would love to have a stronger perspective on this, that, or the other thing. There's an easy app to download. It's only, you know, it's not a huge app or whatever, and it only costs money if you want to spend money. It's free, okay? It costs money on a monthly basis if you want to do a whole bunch of stuff in it. There's another app. You ready for this? I know you're writing now, okay? YouVersion, Y-O-U, version, okay? Great app to download. I started doing this a couple weeks ago. I downloaded the YouVersion app. I downloaded both, and I was working on both. I prefer the YouVersion app, and there's probably a few others as well. But the YouVersion app, I downloaded this in order to just kind of push in some areas that that I really wanted to work at. And so what I did was, with my brother Eric, we actually are doing a Bible study together on the YouVersion app, where I invited him to participate with me, and we're doing a Bible study together, and I want to do this with him first because I thought if there's any glitches, we're going to figure it out together, and we can move on from there. But so we started this together and started studying. So it's really cool. It gives you a little devotional that you can read, and then gives you some chapters of the Bible that you read, and then talk it over at the end so that we can actually dialogue and write a sentence or two about what we learned that day. And then it keeps track of your time. How many days are you spending in God's Word in that kind of a way? So I started one a couple weeks ago, just started another one yesterday with someone else, and I'm looking forward to doing that some more. Here's my goal or my source of encouragement for you is what if we stop dreaming about a healthier or better 2018, and what if we put into practice exploring something that could be life-changing? Could you imagine? Could you imagine the difference that would make in this place? That you didn't just simply come and be like, okay, church is it, and that's the end. But every day you're exploring God's Word and the things that you're struggling with, and you're saying, okay, I want to get into finances. So you're like, okay, I'm going to try this app. And by the way, the app is designed by a church that started in a garage several years ago. And the church is, I think, one of the largest churches in America today. They decided to design this app and to build it and make it for free. And there's nothing you pay on, okay? So it's a pretty incredible app. But what would happen if we decided to explore? We resolved to take charge of our life and say, I'm not going to settle for where I used to be. I'm not going to settle for unhealthy. I'm not going to settle for dysfunctional. I want to be something different. I want to see a better tomorrow. And so I'm going to take charge and explore my next step. So what that looks like is, okay, I'm going to do just one little practical thing. I'm going to download this app, and I'm going to not do this by myself. I'm going to do a Bible study with someone else near me. So you connect with a couple other people, and you keep each other accountable to stay together on this. And you just do a 5-day plan, a 7-day plan, a 21 or 30-day plan. Start easy and focus on something simple that you say, I want to grow in this simple area. Transformation starts individually. It starts individually. We have to work at it. We have to take steps. Don't just dream about it. Be an explorer. And so as we do, here's the thing. My goal is to resolve to take charge. And then encourage us. I want us to take a next step. And as we take the next step, here's what we'll see. You ready? You'll have to wait for next week to find out. All right, let me pray together as we close. Lord, thank you so much for this young lady, Rahab, that gave the courage to the spies, which gave the courage to the people in Israel to follow you. Thank you for the faith that you gave to her and the direction that you took them. And Lord, as we sit here today, there are so many that need that courage. Where they're stuck in a rut, they feel like there's no hope, there's no way out, there's no way life's going to get better. This is just the end. Lord, I pray that you give them encouragement today. Give them strength. And Lord, may they follow you faithfully every step of the way. Lord, help us to be resolved. Not just to talk about it as a good idea, but help us to be resolved to follow you in the dream that you're creating in our heart. And we'll be careful, Lord, to give you the praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.